Bible. This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book so I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Before I go further, I just want to mention to you all that who may not know that we will have a New Year's Eve service. And also, if you have any talents, I know you have talents because God will give you some talents. But if there's anything that you want to do, you know, sing, dance, or whatever you want to do, don't talk. Can you wait till I finish talking let me finish talking before then y'all talk. I don't want people to get distracted. Amen. But if you feel like that you want to do anything, sing, dance, whatever you want to do, mime, anything you want to do to participate. And not just spectate in the New Year's Eve program, please get with me right after service. Amen. Please get with me right after service because we're going to have a good time bringing in the new year. Amen. So if you want to do anything, you want to stand on your head, spin around 10 times, that's fine. Just get with me right after service. Amen. Right after service. I'm going to be right here. Right after service. Get with me so we can go ahead and figure out what it is that you want to do and we can get you on the program. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, now you can go ahead and do what you were doing. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, are you all ready? Amen. I want you to open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. Appreciate you, brother. I get you plugged into this system. Proverbs chapter 18. And when you get there, just say amen. Proverbs chapter 18. I want you to look at verse number 20. I'm sorry, verse 10. Proverbs 18, verse 10. Proverbs 18, 10. Amen. Proverbs 18, 10. The Bible says in verse 10, it says, the name of the Lord is a what? Strong tower. It says, the righteous runneth into it and is what? Safe. Just give me 1 second. This thing right here, me and this thing right here have to have a talk. Because he keeps humming for some reason. Amen. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and it is safe. This is part two of a message I started last week called the strong tower. I know some of you were not here last week, but that's fine because I will catch you up. Okay. It's in Proverbs chapter 18. Yeah, Proverbs 18. Amen. And also the scripture is also on the screen. You know, it's on the screen as well. You're welcome to look at the screen if you need to. Amen. We found out that as we read the scriptures, we were reminded that there is power in the name of Jesus. Okay? We were reminded that there is power in the name of Jesus. And the Bible tells us that the Lord, the name of the Lord, is a strong tower. Notice the Bible says just his name. Okay, his name is a strong tower. So in other words, when we find ourselves feeling weak, when we find ourselves feeling down, when we find ourselves feeling oppressed, when it seems like depression is sneaking up on us, when we find ourselves in a state of stress, when we find ourselves headed toward a state of poverty, when we find ourselves in a state of sadness, when we find ourselves even in a state of madness, one thing that we can count on, we can count on the fact that all we have to do is just call on the name of Jesus, because the Bible tells us that the name of Jesus is a strong tower and the righteous runs to it. Amen. And how many of you know that word strong right there? It means strength. The name of the Lord is a strength tower. So when I need strength to help me to hold on until my change comes, all I have to do is just call on the name of Jesus. Because how many of you know when we call on the name of Jesus, things happen in the spirit world. And not only do they happen in the spirit world, they are manifested to the natural world, and you might not be able to see them with your naked eye, But how many of you know, just because you cannot see them, it does not mean that they are not happening. Amen? Because there is power in the name of Jesus. And when you call that name, like we sung a song last week, call that name, Jesus. I love that song. That song just gets me motivated. Amen. But when we call the name of Jesus, things happen in the spirit world. Are you all still with me? Well, why is the name of Jesus so important? Well, we found out in Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says Jesus, when he came down, he humbled himself. He didn't see himself equal with God. The Bible says that he became a servant. And then because he became a servant, the Bible says that God gave him a name above all names. Somebody say all names. Amen. In any name that tried to come up against the name of Jesus, like the song says, let all the other names do what? Amen. Amen. Because once again, there is something about the name of Jesus, and the name of Jesus have authority over any other name that tries to attack you. I'm talking about any name, because Satan will send any name your way to try to pull you down, to put it in your mind. He will tell you that you are depressed so you can start acting like you're depressed. He will tell you that you are sad so you can start acting like you're sad. Are y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. And see, the Bible says the name of Jesus is above all names. And how many of you know that when you are above something, you have authority over it? Okay? When someone is above you, you know, now stay with me, because I'm going to throw you, like they used to say back in the old days, a monkey wrench here pretty soon. Amen. But when something is above, when you're above something, you have authority over it. Let me give you, not necessarily authority, but you are on top of it. You have control over it. Let me say it that way. Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about here. Let's say that if you were a supervisor, or you are a supervisor, you have authority over your, who that? I hear it over here. I don't hear nothing over there. Amen. Your employees. Amen. You have something over your employees. You have authority because you are over them. And guess what? If they don't act right, you have the authority to get rid of them. Why? Because you have authority over them. They don't have the authority to get rid of you. They can try to get people on the outside. But because you have the authority over them, you can promote them. You can fire them. You can give them an increase. Why? Because you have the authority over them. Are y'all still with me? Talking about Jesus, the name above all names. Amen. You know, even in the secular world, in a business, you have what's called a CEO. How many of you know that CEO might not even know you? You may not have ever met the CEO, but you are subordinate to the CEO. And let's say that he never met you before, and all of a sudden this business needs to get rid of people, cut people, because COVID came and people stopped working and they lost a lot of money, so then they need to get rid of some employees. Well, they can give him a list of all the employees, and he can go down the list and he can get to your name. And although he never met you before, he can say, fire this person right here. Fire this person right here. And you're like, why did he get rid of me? Well, he had to get rid of somebody. Your name just happened to show up. In the middle of him blinking his eye, your name was there on the paper when his eye opened back up. Are y'all still with me? In other words, he has the authority over everyone that works in that organization. Are y'all still with me? When you are above something, even a little ant crawling on the ground, don't you know you have the authority over that little ant? You can step on that ant anytime you want to and get rid of it. But how many of you know he can't step on you? Amen. Now, I know those are some very simple examples, but when we're talking about something is above something, that means that something have authority over whatever it is about. Are y'all still with me? And the Bible says the name of Jesus is above all names. You may have been depressed for 2 weeks. Guess what? The name of Jesus is above that. Are you all still with me? And when you find yourself in a low situation, you find yourself going through, all you have to do is call on the name of Jesus. Or we found out last week, pray in the name of Jesus. And when you call that name, things happen. And I mean, you know, people who are not saved, they even call the name of Jesus. You ever been with someone who's not even a Christian and they get in trouble? Jesus! Because it's a natural thing. There's power in that name. Things happen. Well, you know, they're not saved. Jesus is not. No, no, no. It's not their position. It's the fact that they call the name. Because the Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong or strength tower. Are y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. And see, that's good to know. That's good to know. Because a lot of people face situations. I told you I was in the fast lane this morning. A lot of people face situations in life and they try to figure it out. Lord, why am I going through this? Why? Listen, stop trying to figure it out and just call on the name of Jesus, because God already knows what you're going through and he already knows the outcome. Are you still with me? Call on the name of Jesus and then just sit back and watch things change. Are y'all still with me this morning? I know it sounds good, but how do you know the word of God is good? Are y'all still with me? Amen. You need to know that, because as I mentioned last week, you are engaged in a spiritual warfare. That's why you can't figure it out. You're engaged in a spiritual warfare, and Satan is trying to knock us out by any means necessary. He's trying to knock us out, and he used the names. Sickness, poverty, go get them. Worry, anxiety, go get them. But how many of you know, once again, the name of Jesus is above all name. He attacks us to try to take control of our mind. Because many people are living based on how they feel in their mind. Well, my mind tells me that something ain't right. Well, you better stop listening to your mind. Unless it's renewed with the word of God. Are y'all still with me? Because Satan knows that if he can control the mind, that's where the battleground is at. It's an arena of faith. He knows if he can control the mind, he can control the person. He can make them feel miserable. He can make them feel nothing. He can make them feel like they will never be nothing. And how many of you know the name of Jesus is above the name of nothing? Every name. The name of Jesus is above every name. And Satan uses spiritual forces against us that we cannot see with the naked eye. And we found out last week in Ephesians chapter 6 that those spiritual forces are called principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in what? High places. Keep that in mind. Spiritual wickedness in where? High places. In other words, they are so high in the spirit that we cannot see them with the naked eye. Are you all still with me? They are so high. But how many of you know they are so high that they want you to think in that your mind, the one that Satan is trying to control, they want to try to make you think that they have authority over you because they are in high places. Because I told you a few minutes ago, normally when something is above you, it has the authority over you. Y'all still with me? That's why I gave you those examples. And the principalities and the powers and the rulers want to make you think that because they are in high places, that they are above you and they can control you. And in many cases in this world, it's working. Because people are being controlled by demonic spirits. They're letting Satan tell them that they can't make it. But I'm going to show you a scripture later on to let you know, listen, they may be in higher places than you are in the flesh. But you are higher than they are in the spirit. I'm going to show you that here before we leave out of here today. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen, 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 amen. But even though they want to make you think that they had on you when they attack you. When they attack me, all we have to do is to do what? Call on the name of Jesus. Because the Bible says once again that the name of Jesus is above all names. And when you call on the name, I've already said this, you will receive the strength that you need to hang on until your change comes. Why is that? Because the Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. And that word strong means strength. And it says, we mentioned this last week and we gave a demonstration here at the end of service, the righteous need to run to it. You need to run to the name of Jesus. We don't need to be tiptoeing through the tulips. Because as I mentioned last week, we engage in a spiritual warfare and you go tiptoeing, Satan's going to catch up with you. Are y'all still with me? We need to run to it. Because the demonic forces are trying to take you out. And listen, they don't want you to know that they've been defeated. See, you can say in the name of John, that don't mean nothing to them. But when you say in the name of Jesus, that means something to them. You know why? Because they know who Jesus is. They know who Jesus is. Look, listen. They know who you are. That's why they come to steal, kill, and destroy. That's why they attack you to see if you know who you are. Because if you're in Christ Jesus, you're not the same person who you used to be. But Satan wants you to have the same thought pattern that you had. That's why the Bible tells us to do what to our mind? Renew it. They know you. And when you call the name of Jesus, they recognize that name. Are y'all still with me this morning? I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 4. They recognize the name of Jesus. They recognize that name. That's why we just have to call his name, Jesus. Call that name, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I love this song. Amen, amen, amen. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. When you get there, say amen. In Luke chapter 4, we find out that Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil. And after he completed speaking the word against the devil, the Bible says the devil had left him alone. Amen. And then the Bible tells us, as we continue to read, the Bible tells us that, you know, Jesus was speaking the acceptable year of the Lord in verse number 19. Amen. He was speaking the acceptable year of the Lord. Okay. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Are y'all still with me? And as he continued to do his ministry or mission here on the earth, his ministry at this point in time, the Bible says in verse number 33, that he went into a church or a synagogue. Amen. He said he entered the synagogue. And there was a man, verse 33, which had a spirit of an unclean devil. I haven't seen any devils that's clean. Y'all still with me? He had a spirit of an unclean devil. Notice what the man had. He had a what? So you can't see a spirit with your eye. Well, I saw a spirit yesterday. Listen, did you see one or did you imagine it? Because Satan is a deceiver. He don't want you to see him. Because he know if you see him, you might not do some of the things. If we see him, I'm looking at the screen. If we see him, we might not do some of the things that we don't. So the Bible says he's a deceiver. The Bible says a spirit, which had a spirit of an unclean devil. The spirit was on the inside of the man. Are y'all still with me? You know how sometimes you, in the old days, you see these cartoons like Bugs Bunny and stuff, and you know they have a good spirit on his left shoulder and a bad spirit, and they both whispering into his ears. You won't see that on your shoulder. Satan is a deceiver. When he attacks you, he don't want you to know that he's attacking you. He wants you to think there's something wrong with you. No, there's nothing wrong with you. Are y'all still with me? So the demon is in the man. Look at verse number 34. Once again, verse 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice. Who cried out? The man or the spirit? Are you sure? How many people say the man cried out? If you're not sure, don't raise your hand. Amen. He said, amen. The spirit of an unclean man, a devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, look at what he said. Let alone. What have we? Y'all see that word? Y'all see that word, we? Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says the man had a spirit of an unclean what? Devil. And then it says, let us alone. What have we? How many know spirits will multiply right on the inside of you? Spiritual warfare. Listen, spiritual warfare is real. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to come to intercessory prayer. That's why we can't just show up at church because it's Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. We need to come to get fully equipped so when we go back out there, we can use God's spiritual weapons because we are engaged in a spiritual warfare. Once again, he said, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? That demonic spirit knew exactly who Jesus was. He says, art thou come to destroy? Look, he asked the question. Jesus, you come to destroy us? You know why? Because that demonic spirit knows that Jesus have authority over him or them. He said, Jesus, did you come to destroy us? Look at what else he said. He said, did you come to destroy us? He says, I know thee who you are. He said, you are the Holy One of God. Do y'all see that? Listen, notice here. Notice that Jesus Christ, see, I have to pull some things out as I'm teaching. Some things just come to me. Notice that Jesus Christ, at this point in time, had not even resurrected yet. He had not even died for our sins yet. He had not even went up to be seated on the side of beside the Father yet. But although he came down in the form of a servant to represent you and I, to show us we can do it, he still had power. But he humbled himself. The Bible tells us in Philippians, he did not show himself to be equal with God in this natural world. But how many of you know the demonic spirits knew exactly the authority that he had? Even though the people in his hometown couldn't get healed because they said, oh, that's just Joseph's son. Here he is, it's Jesus. Demonic spirits know what's really going on. And they said, Jesus, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked who? Him. Who did he rebuke? The boy or the spirit? Are y'all still with me this morning? So here's an unclean spirit. And then the spirit says, we know who you are. And then the Bible says, Jesus rebuked the spirit. Let me tell you something, what's going on right there. I don't care if that spirit multiplied himself by 2,000. When Jesus speak, they got to go out in unity as one. Are y'all still with me this morning? I'm telling you about the power behind the name of Jesus. He said, listen, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him saying, hold your peace and come out of that boy. God Almighty. You know, I'm sorry, y'all. Amen, amen, amen. You know, when I'm teaching the word, when I'm studying, I put myself in the atmosphere as if I'm a part of what's going on. You know what Jesus told that demon? He said, shut your mouth. Jesus, I know who you are. Shut your mouth and come out of that boy. Good God Almighty. And look at what happened here. Look at what happened. Amen. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of the boy. But the boy didn't get hurt. He didn't get hurt. The devil could have thrown him off a cliff. He still wouldn't have got hurt. Why? Because of Jesus. He said, the boy did not get hurt. And they were all amazed and spoke among themselves like people do. I don't believe it. They spoke among themselves saying, what a word is this? See, they never even imagined anything like that. Like Moses didn't imagine what Noah didn't even know what an ark looked like. God said, go build an ark and I'm going to give you all the instructions. People say, Noah, you a fool. You just out of your mind. Noah said, oh, look, you might think I'm a fool. But how many of you, when Noah got in that ark and them doors locked, I just believe, Ron chapter 1, verse 22, God gave him a little window so he could see the people. And I believe he looked out there and said, how you like me now? Are y'all still with me? Amen. The Bible says when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. Verse 36 says, and they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and they came out. I mean, what did they expect? What did they expect? See, we have to understand that when Satan attack us and the principalities and the powers, we cannot see them with the naked eye. But how many of you know Jesus can see them? He can see them. And all he's doing, like Nene said this morning, listen, just call the name. Give him permission to operate in your life. God is not going to force himself on anyone. But because he did not create us to be robots, but when we give him permission, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you, give him permission, and he make things happen. See, sometimes we pray for people. You all have to get this. Sometimes people are going through situations, you know, misery, you know, they might be what we call on their deathbed, as an example. And we pray for them, and then they still die. And we get upset with God. You know, Father, you know, your word said I pray for them, they die. Listen, y'all got to catch this. You got to catch this. Sometimes people are ready to go. And you can't pray something that's against their will. You have to remember that. Sometimes you pray for people to get delivered or whatever. Sometimes they don't want to. That's why it don't happen. It's not that God can't do it. God can do all things. But you want them to do what they don't want to. Because I believe when we pray for people, I believe the Holy Spirit visits them. Now, they don't know it's the Holy Spirit because they don't know God. And place something on their mind, you know, show them like you need to change. You're going down the road. But they still have to make the decision. Are y'all still with me this morning? So y'all got a bonus this morning, didn't you? Amen. I told you I was in the left lane. Amen. But we can't see them in the spirit, but Jesus can. So all we have to do is just call the name of Jesus. And just the mention of that name, things change. Well, Pastor, what gives, little old me, little country boy from North Carolina. I've never had anything. So what gives me the power to call the name of Jesus? You know, that might be a crazy question for some, but other people might not be. They might be afraid to call Jesus' name because they might be in guilt because of some mistake they made. Like I used to be when I used to mess up as a kid. I can't go to Jesus for asking for forgiveness because I don't deserve it. That's what Jesus died for. You better go to him. Who else is going to forgive you? People say they're going to forgive you, but they won't. See? But you have the authority. What gives me the authority? Well, let me tell you what gives you the authority to call the name of Jesus. Because you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior. See, that's what gives you the authority. And if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, today is your day. Streamers don't leave out without accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But if you are a Christian, you have the authority because you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that gives you the authority to call on the name of Jesus. See? Because, see, if we had not accepted Jesus, where would we be today? See? The reason why you were able to accept him is because of what happened in the world many years ago. Before you were born, before I was born, there was a man by the name of Adam and his wife Eve who spent time in the garden. And God spoke to them, and God told them of every tree in the garden you can eat of, but of this one tree, don't you eat from that tree? Because in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. Are y'all still with me this morning? Well, you know, just like some of us today, you know, we know what the Word of God say, but we don't want to believe it. Well, I mean, you know, Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and they ate of their tree. And I mean, you know, that day they died a spiritual death. Are y'all still with me? In other words, they received the sin nature, and they became spiritually separated from God. They even recognized that they were naked. But boy, when they was in the spirit world, they was focused on the spiritual. Are you all still with me? The sin nature or the Satan nature. Are y'all still with me this morning? In other words, they couldn't pray to communicate with God directly anymore. They had to go through the prophets and the priests. Are y'all still with me? I like to say it this way. Somebody turned off their iPhone. They couldn't call no more. They had to use your phone. Are y'all still with me this morning? So the world needed a Savior. We needed someone to redeem us. We needed someone to get us spiritually reconnected to God so we could pray to God. We needed a mediator. Are y'all still with me this morning? And the Savior could not just be anybody. The person who was to come to save the world had to be born a supernatural birth. Are y'all still with me this morning? And when I say supernatural, what I mean by that is not by the aid of a man and a woman. Because most people, you know, people come in the world, they're born by the aid of a man and a woman. No, the person has to become supernaturally. Are y'all still with me? Because anyone else who was born into this world after Adam and Eve sinned received the sin nature. And that's the reason why you and I have to be born again, because anyone who is born into this world, doesn't matter how much money they have in their pocket, doesn't matter how much, what their title is, how much authority they think they have, in order to get to God, they have to go through Jesus. They need to be born again. Are y'all still with me? Until that time, they have the sin nature. And once again, the person who was to come had to be born of a virgin. Are y'all still with me? Now listen to this. God gave the children of Israel a lot of leaders. I like to say spiritual leaders, if you will, but they couldn't redeem them. I mean, Moses couldn't do it. David couldn't do it. Joshua couldn't do it. Saul couldn't do it. And King Solomon definitely couldn't do it because he was too busy looking at the women. Y'all still with me this morning? The one had to come who was serious about God, who had no sin. See, God always had a plan to redeem mankind. God always had a plan for mankind to have a Savior. God always had a plan. And all throughout the Old Testament, they prophesied about this Savior. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. I want you to know what gives you the right to call the name of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 7. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen, amen, amen. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Mighty, mighty, mighty. Mighty, mighty, mighty. with supernatural power. Like a song say, lift Jesus higher, higher, higher. Higher. Stop saying lower, lower, lower. Amen. How many know Isaiah was a prophet? And how many know, let me tell you how you, let me tell you, like, because everybody want to be a prophet these days. I'm a prophet. Sa, 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 sa. Let me let you know if you, how you can know if a person is a prophet or not. If what they tell you come true. If they, what they tell you don't come true, they ain't a prophet. They want to be. Or let me say it this way. They are want you to think they are. I mean, everybody want to be a prophet. I'm a pastor so-and-so. I'm evangelist so-and-so. People. Anyway, amen. That's why we do intercessory prayer, so we can pray for them. Amen. But Isaiah was a prophet, like Jeremiah and the rest of the boys. And the Bible says here in Isaiah chapter 7, there was a king of Judah named Ahaz. And the Bible says here in verse number 10, it says, moreover, the Lord spoke again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, ask it either in the depth or in the height above. God said, listen, whatever you ask, just ask me. I'm God, I can do all things. Amen. It says, but Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear you now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? He said, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a what? Do y'all see that? He said, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. He said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a what? Son. And shall call his name what? Emmanuel. Y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. And I mentioned to you a few seconds ago, the way that you know that a prophet is a prophet is if it comes true. See, let me tell you how I like to look at the Old Testament. A lot of people say, I don't like the Old Testament. I like the New. I don't like the New Testament. I like the Old. Listen, you can't take one without the other. Because the Old Testament is really a roadmap that leads to the coming of Jesus. Did you know that? The Messiah, that's what it is, you know. It's a roadmap that leads to the coming of Jesus. It shows us how things were back then and how we have things now through the New Covenant or the New Testament. That word testament means covenant. Are you all still with me? So I can't say I don't like the Old Testament. You need to get in there and find out some history. Because if we never spend time in the Old Testament, we will never give Jesus the credit that he deserved. Are you all still with me? Amen. So Isaiah said, it's going to be a son. It's going to be born of a virgin. And his name will be Emmanuel. And you know what Emmanuel means? God with us. Amen. Now let's find out if Isaiah was a true prophet or not. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Are y'all still with me? I want you to know why you have the authority to call Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 1. Because some people don't know. That's why they don't call his name. You have the authority. And if you're not a Christian, you can be one today. Don't cost you nothing. Are you in Matthew chapter 1? Amen. The Bible talks about Jesus. It's talking about Mary. You know, before her and Joseph got together, amen, that she had already conceived. And because Joseph was a great husband, he didn't want to take Mary out in public so they could talk about her. See, a lot of people say, well, Joseph didn't want people to talk. No. Joseph didn't care if they talked about him, but they didn't want anyone to talk about his wife. He wanted to protect his wife. Do your married man hear that? He wanted to protect his wife. Do your married guys hear that? He wanted to protect his wife. I mean, he wasn't trying to act like he was better than his wife. I can't look at y'all. Amen. He wanted to protect his wife. He didn't want the people talking about her. I don't want to look around because somebody might think I'm looking at them. Amen. Whoever don't take care of their wife, they might think I'm looking at them. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. So the Bible said here, amen. The angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph. In verse 20, it said, but while he thought on these things, about taking Mary out in public, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take into thee Mary thy wife. Don't worry about what those people are going to say. She's already had conceived. Don't worry about them. He said, for that which is conceived in her is of the what? The who? The who? The third person of the Trinity. You mean to tell me that you thought the Holy Ghost can't operate on the inside of you? The Bible says our bodies is the what? Temple of the Holy Ghost. Are y'all still with me? He said, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sin. Now, how many of you have the King James Bible? I don't know what the NIV and all them other translations say, but how many of you know when he said, thou shalt call his name what? You know, the world says when you type everything in capital letters, you're yelling. Y'all heard it before? Notice in the King James, Jesus' name is in capital letters. The angel said, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. In other words, he was also trying to tell it on the mountain. He said his name shall be Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. That includes you and I. And then it says, in verse 23, he said exactly what Isaiah said. He said, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. I know in Isaiah there's an I. In the Matthew there's an E. The reason for that is because the Old Testament is Hebrew, Aramaic, and the New Testament is what? Greek. That's why. If you ever ask that question, why they got an I, they got an E? That's because of different languages. Are y'all still with me? His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? God what? With what? Us. God with us. That's why we the praise team sing that song sometime. Emmanuel, he was playing it before we left the stage. Means God with us. He messed with Emmanuel, mean God with us. In other words, he confirmed what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 7. That means he's a true prophet. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. Now I want you to go to Luke chapter 2. Because we know what the angel said. We know what Isaiah said. Now I want you to go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Because in Luke chapter 2, we find out about the birth of Emmanuel. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Luke chapter 2. Amen. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse number 7, we start there. It says, Mary brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. How many know God owned the inn? He could have put everybody in the inn out. He could have just evicted everybody. But how many of you know? See, sometimes you read the Bible too fast. Sometimes if you're not careful, you're going to miss some important things there. The Bible tells us right here, that Jesus came down to humble himself. This is a sign of being humble. God showed us that Jesus was humble. He was born in the manger. The Bible says, because there was no room in the inn. That's not a reason. The reason why he was born in the manger, because God wanted him to be born in the manger. I mean, if God wanted him to be born in a holiday inn, he would have put up a holiday inn back there and had Jesus to be born in. This is a sign of humility. You can't miss that. That's why you got to study the Bible. That's why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, right at the Bible in the word of truth. Amen? Let's move on, okay? He's born in a manger, okay? But this is what I want you to see. The Bible says that the shepherds was abiding at night, keeping their flock. And then the Bible says the angel of the Lord came to them and told them in verse number 10. The angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you what? Good tidings of joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I know you all have seen this verse a million times. I know you've seen it 1,000 times. But I like to point things out here. Because listen to what the angel said here. He said, the Bible says, I bring you good what? Tidings. That word tidings means the good news. He said, I bring you some good news. You know what the good news that he brought them, you know, because they was in bondage for a long time. He said, listen, you don't have to live in poverty any longer. You do not have to live in depression any longer. You do not have to live being oppressed any longer. You do not have to live being sad any longer. You do not have to live being beat up any longer. You do not have to live being in bondage any longer, because I brought you some good news that Savior is here. Not just the Savior for one individual person, but the Savior of the world. Are y'all still with me? Amen. And then he told them why they could find the Savior here. Good God Almighty, the Savior of the world. Amen. In other words, he says, for unto you is born into the city of David this day. This day. And I mean, you know, this day right here as we're living in is one of the days on this Sunday that we'll celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And not only should we celebrate this day, we should celebrate every day. Because if it wasn't for Jesus, where would we be? Amen? Amen. And listen, we also celebrate Jesus on the 25th of December. Because the 25th of December is when we celebrate the birth of Jesus. Now, you have everybody out there, all these smart people, and they will tell you, well, Jesus wasn't born on the 25th of December. There's no way he could have been born on the 25th of December, because the Bible says that the shepherds were biding in the field, and nobody don't work in the field in the wintertime. Are y'all still with me? But how many of you know it doesn't matter? It doesn't matter if he was born in January, February, March, April, May, June, July, December. I'm glad that he was born. Why? Because he came to deliver me from all of the attacks that Satan tried to put in my head to make me think I'm nothing. Don't get wrapped up on the day. Get wrapped up in the swaddling clothes with Jesus. Because he is the King of kings and the Lord of what? Lords. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen, amen. And listen to this. Although he came into this world as a baby, he wasn't a baby before he came into this world. See, everyone who's born into this world is born as a what? Baby. I mean, have you ever seen a woman in labor and when she has a baby? The baby come out? Let me teach this. Amen. Let me teach this. Amen. I'm just messing. The baby come out and it don't say, you know, 7 feet tall, I'm Milton, your brand new son. No! I know y'all don't know who Milton is. Don't worry about it. Amen, amen, amen. It used to be a cartoon years ago. Amen. Baby, come on, walking. Come on, let's go. Let's go for a run, y'all. No! When they're born into this world, they're born as a baby. Well, how many of you know when Jesus Christ came down and was born of the Virgin, it was no different. He was born as a what? Baby. But how many of you know before Jesus came, he was grown? Because the Bible says that in 1 John that he was with God. The Bible says there's three that bear witness of heaven. The Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Word. And these three are what? One. So how many of you know before Jesus came down to be born on the earth, his name wasn't Jesus. He was called the Word. He was grown. He wasn't a baby. But when he was conceived in this world, like you and I, we're born as a baby. See. But Jesus was always. Because the Bible says in the beginning. Go to John chapter 1. In the beginning. Good God Almighty, what a mighty God we serve. Amen, amen, amen. In the beginning. See, I'm trying to give you some confidence to let you know that because you are a child of God, because Jesus is the Savior, it doesn't matter what the principalities or the powers think. All you have to do is just call the name of Jesus. Call the name of Jesus. In John chapter 1, the Bible says in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Are y'all there yet? I know I'm not there yet. Amen. I've been talking too much. Amen. And the Bible says in verse number 2, the same was in the beginning with God. The same what? The Word. Notice in verse 1, the word Word is capitalized. It's not talking about A, B, C, D, F, G. It's talking about Jesus, the Word. The Bible says that he was, in verse 9, he was a true light, which lighted every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. That's Mary's boy. That's Joseph's son. He ain't got no power. But the Bible says in verse 14, and the Word was made what? Flesh, the baby, who's no longer in the manger. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among who? Us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and who? Truth. The Word. Talking about Jesus. The Word. Talking about Jesus. Made flesh in the world, but he was with God in the beginning. He was the Word. Amen? And how many of you know that Jesus Christ started his mission at a very young age? He didn't wait. You know, people say, yo, he started his ministry when he was 30, around 30. But he started his mission early. In other words, he was preparing himself. See, that's the same thing that should happen when we accept Jesus. Now we need to start preparing ourselves. We need to start praying. We need to start getting in the Word. We need to start knowing the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We need to prepare ourselves because Satan is coming. He's coming. And as like I always say, he's coming around the mountain. And when he comes, he will not be riding six white horses. He's coming. After you and after me. Are y'all still with me? That's why we have to prepare ourselves. Jesus was preparing himself even before he started his ministry. But he had already started his mission. Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Go to Luke chapter 2. Everything you need is found into the Word of God. Go to Luke chapter 2. He had started his mission to redeem mankind. Amen. It's all right if you all make comments. I was just messing with Minister Jones up there. Y'all can talk all you want. Amen. Mankind. You know, in Luke chapter 2, I'm going to paraphrase it all the way down to where I want to get to. The Bible says there was a man in the Bible named Simeon. Simeon was a devout man. And the Holy Spirit told him, he said, Simeon, I'm going to tell you something. I know you're a devout man. You love God. But guess what? I know you know about the Old Testament, about the Messiah coming. But he said, Simeon, since you're such a faithful man, you're going to live. You're going to die. You're not going to die until you actually see the Messiah. I mean, Simeon probably said, thank you. What's that? Amen. Speak of amen, amen. I'll get ready to rebuke him in Jesus' name. I'll get ready to say, come out. In Jesus' name. Y'all still with me? Man, you just don't know what you have, what the power you have in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, so they say, see me. Yes, yeah, because we limit ourselves to the natural world. Y'all better, if you don't know, you better ask somebody. Amen. Here we go. So listen. So Simeon was happy. Holy Spirit, in verse 26, it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says Jesus was born. Verse 34 says Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. And then the Bible even talks about a prophetess. In verse number 36, Anna. Notice, that's an Anna, that's a female. So you got people say, oh, women not supposed to do nothing in church. They supposed to sit there and keep their mouth shut. Look, prophetess Anna. God used who want to be used. Y'all still with me? Women, don't you think that I can't do that? I can't do that. Yes, you can. God can use you also. And the reason why, you know why I believe that God used, this is not the reason why. One of the reasons why God used women, because men don't want to do nothing. They don't want to do anything. Now we all say, we already got it. We already got it. We don't need to go. We don't need to go to men ministry. Y'all know I'm straightforward. I know they got a schedule, but I ain't gonna go. You don't know, better ask somebody. Are y'all still with me this morning? Amen. I feel some toes curled up in the world. Amen. The Bible says Anna was a widow, about 84, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and praying night and day. Look how much time she spent with God. You spend time with God, he don't care whether you're male or female, Gentile or Jew. You spend time with God, God will use you. Y'all still with me? She coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise to the Lord, and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So the Bible says, Jesus went to the synagogue. He was teaching. His mama, earthly. His father, earthly. They lost track of him for 3 days. Where in the world is that boy? Anybody seen him? They finally found Jesus doing what we need to be doing, teaching and learning, receiving the word to prepare ourselves. The Bible says in verse 48, and when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said, son, what? Where you been? Why have thou done this to us? Don't you realize how worried we were about you? I mean, I couldn't sleep at night. Why you doing this to us? The father and I have cried. We've just been sorrow. Jesus said to them, I'm sorry. I should have let y'all know. That's not what he said. Look at what he said. He said, how is it that you're looking for me? Don't you know that I must have been about my father's business? Notice the word father's in capital letters. He said, look, I'm on a mission. I know I'm your earthly son, but I have a higher authority. I'm doing the work of Father. Y'all still with me? And then in chapter 3, the Bible tells us he started his earthly ministry. And he was full of wisdom, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 3. I'm not going to go there for the second time. You can read it when you get home for Bible study this week. So then the same Jesus, the same one, told us in John, told the disciples when he was getting ready to leave, he said, as of this day you have asked me nothing. He said, but when I'm gone, ask me anything. Ask the Father in my name, and he shall give it to you. Are y'all still with me? He said, ask in my name. Same thing he's telling us. In other words, just call my name. Are y'all still with me? In Luke chapter 10, for the sake of time, Jesus sent out 70 disciples. He told them, Go here, go there. If they welcome you in, go in. If they don't, stay away from them. He said, I'm sending you up against lambs against wolves. He said, be careful. They came back. The Bible says they came back with joy. Luke 10, you can read it when you get home. They came back with joy. That tells me when they left, they didn't have joy. They probably said, oh, man. John, man. Last time, did you see? I don't know what Jesus is trying to tell us to do. Let's just go, though. You know how he is. But the Bible said they came back with joy. And they said, Jesus, even the demons are subject or under authority to us through thy name. You know what Jesus said? He said, really? No, that's not what he said. He said, I saw Satan when he got kicked out of heaven. Read it. It's right there. I mean, he wasn't surprised because he knew he had authority over demons. I mean, he showed them earlier when the demon was in the little boy. I mean, didn't they learn from that? They say, even the demons are subject to us through thy name. Jesus could have said, well, all names are subject to my name. Because I have the name above all names. Are y'all still with me? The name of Jesus. Now, I'm getting ready to close. I have about a minute and 25 seconds left. But I want to show you something that I told you I was going to show you earlier. Because I told you that the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, they sit in high places. And I told you when we started, normally when someone is higher than you, they have the authority over you. And the demonic forces want you to think that they have the authority over you. That's why they come to attack you and tell you things in your head. And in many cases, people think they have to believe it. Why? Because the principality, the power. And let me share this with you. Some people, the principalities. Don't be afraid. God did not put that in the Bible so you could be afraid. He put it in there to show you what you're up against. But all you have to do is call the name of Jesus. Because Jesus has already defeated the principalities and the powers and the rulers and the spiritual wings. He did? Yes, he did. Go to Colossians chapter 2. I'm getting ready to close. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. You have to see this. Colossians chapter 2. I'm almost done. Y'all have been very good this morning. You've been very patient. Thank you so much. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Yeah, we got to fix that clock because they did that last week on me too. That clock don't understand I have authority over it. That's because he's telling me to stop. It don't mean I'm going to stop. Amen. I'm almost done. Stay with me. This is a celebration. Amen. I got to get this out. I'm almost done. Give me a couple of more minutes. Just about 2 more minutes. That's all I need. Amen. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul wrote a letter to the church of Colossae. And he wanted them to know that they need to be complete, that, you know, to be complete. And he said in verse 10, and you are complete in him. He wanted to let them know what they have in Christ Jesus. They have already accepted Jesus, okay? He said, you are complete in Jesus. Notice he said, not in themselves, but in Jesus. And then he started talking about over here, Paul says in verse 12, he said, you've been buried with him in baptism. Wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. I'm in verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he made alive together with him. Notice together with him. You got to see that. Made you alive together with him. I'm almost done. Stay with me. Amen. Together with him. And then he told them, he said, having forgiven you of all trespasses. Now, I want you to look at verse 14. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. There's another verse, a version that says, disarm the power. Well, in other words, he disarmed the power of the principalities, the powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and the spiritual wickedness in high places. He disarmed the power that they support they had over you because of Adam and Eve's sin. Because of Adam and Eve's sin, because you got credit for Adam and Eve's sin. Just like you get credit for Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection if you are a Christian. You all still with me? And then he said, because he canceled your debt. That's what all that sin. The debt that you had to pay for your sin, he canceled it because of Jesus. I told you he came from heaven to earth to show the way. From the earth to the cross, your debt he paid and mine. From the earth to the cross, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to be resurrected on the right-hand side of the Father. Y'all still with me? And his victory is your victory. But what about the principalities? Here we go. Verse 15 says, and having spoiled the principalities and the powers. And I know you don't see it, but it's there. The rulers in the spirit, the rulers of the darkness of this world and the spiritual wickedness in high places. He destroyed them. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it by the cross. In other words, Jesus' victory on the cross defeated the principalities and the powers, and that's why they do not have any authority over you, although they are in spiritual high places. Well, Pastor, how can that be? How can they be? How can it be that they don't have authority over me? Because you said, whoever is higher have authority over those who are lower. Well, Christians, how many of you know that I'm glad that you asked that question? I'm closing. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. I know I said I was closing a minute ago, but guess what? Right now, I'm closing. Ephesians chapter 1. See, you need to understand what you have through Christ Jesus. That's why his birth is so important. That's why his death, his resurrection is so important. You need to know what you have. See? You need to know what these names try to attack you. You call the name of Jesus, so all those names can fade away. Because there's power in the name. Are y'all still with me? The Bible says about Jesus in Ephesians. This is it. It says, Paul is talking to them about Jesus. He says that God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, verse number 20, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly or high places. Verse 21 says, far above what? All what? Do y'all see that? And what? And what? And what? And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to what? Come. Verse 22 says, and have put all things where? Under whose feet? Has put what on his feet? Y'all talk to me. I'm almost done. Just stay with me. Put what on his feet? What's all things? Keep on naming the name. Sickness, poverty, oppression, depression, stress. What else? Whatever. You go on and on and on. We'll be here all night. Amen. All things under his feet. I told you when something is underneath you, you have authority over it. Well, Pastor, that said Jesus. That just ain't me. That said you. I don't know what it is, amen. Yeah, it is. Pastor, you don't know what you're talking about. Amen. I don't see it. Well, listen. Just like the man told God, open the man's eyes so he can see. Let me open your spiritual eyes so you can see. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. You can start playing there. I'm done. Look at Ephesians 2. The Bible says here in verse number 2, chapter 2. Paul is talking to them about their old life in verse 3. He says, among whom also we had our conversation, verse 3, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's before you got saved. But now this is because you're saved, verse 4. But God, somebody say, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, has quickened or made us alive together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Uh-oh, here we go. This is it right here. and hath, verse 6, raised us where? Where? Has raised us up together and made us sit where? In what? With who? Oh, y'all, amen, amen, amen. Has raised us up together. Raised us up together and made us sit together. Where is Jesus sitting? Making intercession for us. Made us sit together in heavenly places. Where? In Christ. Christians, stand to your feet. I have already told us that Jesus is sitting on the right hand side of the Father. And the Bible has already told us that the name of Jesus is above all names. The Bible told us that all things are under his feet. Well, guess what? If you're in Christ and you're seated with him in high places, that means that all things are also under what? Your feet. That means that although the principalities and the powers might be high, you are higher than they are in Christ Jesus. And in Christ Jesus, you have the authority over them. I don't know about you, but that's something to be excited about to me. No more stress, no more control, no more defeat, because whatever name they send my way, all I need to do is call the name of Jesus, because there is power in that name. And when I speak that name out of my mouth, things happen in the atmosphere. And the things that happen in the atmosphere causes my life to change. Not because of what I did, because of what Jesus did for me. Amen? Somebody give him praise because he's worthy.